So I'm saying that this second chance makes you responsible for giving to others a second chance. And when you retaliate and you hit people the way you've been hit by them, maybe, you're not using the wisdom from above.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, August 25th, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, The God of the Second Chances. And our text comes to us from Jonah chapter 3. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
It's Jonah chapter 3. And Jonah is one of those books that you read and you kind of ponder and ask yourself the question, why did I ever go to Jonah? Jonah is an incredible book, and it's so filled with teachings and learnings. So we're just doing a big old explosion of ideas. We're not going verse by verse. But anyway, Jonah chapter 3 is what we're looking at, verses 1 through 10. And we'll get to read that. So let's see if we can put our hearts to it. All right, let's read it. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city, like Montebello. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city, and he proclaimed 40 more days, and Nineveh will be destroyed or overturned. The Ninevites believed God. Look at that. And they declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Verse 9, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. And verse 10 finishes the chapter. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. May God bless the reading of his word. In 2 Timothy 2:5, let me see if I can read that to you directly. It speaks about the whole concept of repentance. And in repentance, it simply says something like this, that the work of repentance is always the work of God. You and I cannot really repent unless repentance is offered. The wonderful thing about it is that when God offers you the opportunity to repent, if you repent, you're back on track. So my message this morning deals with the God of the second chance. Because, you know, chapter 3 opens with a horrific echo of disobedience. Because we left Jonah inside the belly of the big fish and the big fish spewing him out. But chapter 3 says very clearly that God's voice finds him again. God's voice will always find you again. The divine commands fall upon him, and just doing quick through the chapter, falls upon him and urges him to go to that great city to proclaim the message that God had given Jonah in the first place. Well, Jonah this time doesn't hesitate, doesn't take off to Las Vegas. He goes right to where God called him to go. And he goes to this exalted city. And he comes with a very heavy message. And he says, this city is going to be destroyed. Now, the wickedness of Nineveh is awful. We don't have time to go into details, but let me just say that everything that happened in the Second World War with the concentration camps and the atrocities of the German machine, they learned from the Assyrians. They learned from Nineveh. They're horrible people, horrible people. They did horrible things. So he says, you know, you need to repent from all of this. And so on the very first day, Jonah goes into Nineveh and simply says, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get destroyed because of your evil works, because of what you have done. And there are consequences in this planet when we do what is wrong. Because in spite of sin, God's in charge. In spite of sin, God's will be done. And so the people who heard the message were struck by the horrible thing that everything was going to be destroyed. And of course, the remarkable chapter shows us that the Ninevites, the people from Nineveh, the story unfolds like we call a dance of repentance. And the people, gripped by the reality of their wickedness and their violence, turned away from their evil ways. And so without any kind of a decree from the royal powers, they themselves declared a fast and sackcloth, and they dressed with garments of sorrow. This is something else. This is a revolution. This is just incredible. And without waiting for the royal decree, they declare a fast among themselves, and the garment of sorrow comes upon them. Then all of a sudden, the king says, what's going on? And so he hears, and then he, instead of getting upset, he humbles himself as well. He does so in the dust, and he joins all those penitents. And he issues a proclamation that not even the animals get to eat, that everything must be wrapped in sackcloth and deprived of any substance. The key to this passage is the trembling voice of the king in the shadow of uncertainty. He wonders aloud and says, who can tell? Perhaps God will forgive us, will repent, and we will be spared. And of course, this chapter concludes with this wonderful scenario of God's mercy, that he spares all of them. Now, a week after, we'll do chapter 4 and see the real character of this man named Jonah, but that's for another day. Let me just simply say that the destruction that had been threatened upon them was thwarted. It changed. It completely changed. A miracle unfolds, a wonderful miracle. And Israel's most fierce enemies, what nobody thought could be possible, they believed, they repented, they basked in God's warm forgiveness. So my message for you, the message that I preach to myself, is that we serve a God of the second chance. God of mercy, of forgiveness. The God who knows all about you, but he offers you grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And boy, do you know yourself? And does God know you? And yet, in spite of all of that, this chapter gives us three main ideas. First, God's mercy. Secondly, the cost of forgiving you and me. And how this relates to the second chances in our lives. First of all, I want you to understand that what God did to the people and what God does in life, the mercy towards Nineveh, was undeserving. But this is the God of the second chance. And it's Jonah that gets the second chance, and so does the city get a second chance. Jonah has the opportunity to fulfill God's ministry that he turned away from on the first place. This dual extension of mercy to Jonah the prophet, who was walking away from God. God said, go here, and he went to the other side. The whole trauma of Jonah, what we find is that God allowed him to ask for forgiveness, and forgiveness was granted. And he offers to him, Jonah, a second chance. And this is God's grace in the life of Jonah. The second thing is the forgiveness that comes to Jonah. It's forgiveness, but God is the one who bears the ultimate cost and burden of forgiveness and the second chances in life. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If there is a second chance for you and for me, it's not that God just says, okay, it's okay, don't worry about it. No, Christ died for your sins. He's the one that took those awful things that allowed you to become recipients of his grace. That's right. The second chance in the life of Jonah was not just a free pass, but part of God's redemptive plan. It's the way God dealt with Jonah and how he deals with us. It is the package of salvation. It is God working in our lives. Because even if you and I fail, God doesn't. As I was saying a few weeks ago, I think sometimes I'm a Calvinist. Not many of you would catch that, but I'm telling you, God does not abandon us. God does not give up on us. He gives us the opportunity to return, to learn, and to grow. How many of us had returned to the Lord after we had a kind of a rebellious attitude all day long? Maybe this morning you were rebellious. Who knows? I think when you argue with yourself and you argue with the Lord and you argue, but the Lord allows you to return to your senses of sorts, and you get to learn and you get to grow. So for the Christian, I think perseverance, in spite of our inconsistencies and in spite of our difficulties and in spite of the unanswerable questions we have in our heart, when we persevere and we walk with God, we know that the failures that you and I face do not define us. Not when we're under grace. God defines you and me, and we're the object of his love and his care. Doesn't give you a license to sin, because when you say no to God, there is a big storm coming your way. And there are going to be a bunch of people saying, what's wrong with you? You've endangered our lives, and they'll throw you overboard. So don't go there. We don't go there. We want to do God's will as much as we can, except that when we willfully say no to God, God has ways of speaking to you and to me to bring us back, because he's the God of the second chance. That's the thread of redemption, the thread of grace, all through the scriptures. And we find that God is not that far away from us. Jonah was in the belly of that fish, and God heard him from there. In the despair of your life, when you see the results of your, can I use the word stupidity, or I can't use it? In spite of our idiocy, that we can rebel God and tell God to go take a hike, in spite of our stubbornness, in spite of it, it's my way or the highway, God gives you enough rope so that you will wind up in a place where you say, you know what, I'm not really that well put together. And you pray, oh, God, deliver me. And God delivers you. Of course, he delivers you sometimes not very pretty, because you spew up, you know, you belly of the fish. It's figurative. But some of us come back to the Lord all beat up. But that's okay, because now you're listening to the voice of God and God's grace is upon you, and you find out that God, after all, is not that far away from you and your mistakes and your errors and your conflicts. And he's not that distant away. He's right there, and he's not punitive. He's not there to see how he can whack you. That's why when, you know, I tell people that I don't wake up all of a sudden. I go through stages. You know, I don't know how you guys sleep and wake up, but I wake up in stages. I hear a voice saying, it's time to get up. Takes me a little time. And, you know, I have the greatest wife in the world, because she says, do you want the mate? And that starts waking me up. But it's restorative, and little by little, you know, I come. And that's how God works in our lives. Sometimes we're shocked by the things we've done, but there's a voice of God that wakes you up little by little, and you begin to see that God can restore you, even when you and I have been strayed away from Him in our thoughts, in our actions, in our disposition. David was a great gentleman in the Bible, whereas you see God that restores those who are broken. Because you may be broken today. David disobeyed God's command in so many different ways. He committed adultery. And he orchestrated a murder. You would think that's pretty awful. It was. But David is not abandoned by God. Because David is brought to a place of deep repentance in the belly of the fish. Deep repentance in the agony. You come, you call upon God, and God will give you a second chance. And David is restored. God's second chance for David did not erase the circumstances, the consequences of his actions. No. But it did reaffirm David's role in God's plan. You know, there are some things we do that are just dumb. Maybe I'm the only one that can say that, but it's dumb. Why did I do that? You did it. So you repent, you come back to the Lord restores you, but some of that dumbness is there. And you have to deal with it in the sense that it comes back to your mind. But I tell you, God still fulfilled his purpose. Because we are responsible for the things we do. Hello? Qué silencio que hay aquí. Yeah, I think I'm never going to preach on Jonah again. This is the last time. But what God showed was that there was no sin that he could not forgive. Grace to redeem. And sometimes we think we have done pretty bad things in life, but I want you to know that God restores those who are broken in the presence of his life. Moses was another gentleman that wanted to save God's people, and he ran from Egypt because he was a murderer. And he spent 40 years in the wilderness, in the deep side of the desert. I'm sure he must have thought, I'm here safe, but I've forgotten all possibilities of doing anything for God as he felt God had called him to. And then one day God appeared to him in a burning bush and recommissioned him to go forth. And it changed the history of the world. So Moses' story reminds us that even in the wilderness of our life, there's the possibility of a burning bush. And it's so true. It's when you're down there that God speaks and finds you where you are. So you may be in the belly of the fish, or you may be in the desert of wilderness, or you may be in the process of asking God for mercy for things that you've done in your life that seem to be condemning you. I also believe that it's a God who transforms failures into purpose. I think St. Paul is one of those great examples. He persecuted the Christians. He was one of the most influential persecutors of the church. As a matter of fact, scholars will tell you that if God had not intervened and turned Paul around, the church would have been extinct. He had that much power. When I was in the Holy Land some years ago, there was this... We had a lecture from someone from the Jewish community, and they were very, very pro-Jewish faith. And the question about Romans came up, and this scholar said, if you look at Paul, he says Paul almost did away with the Jewish faith because of his argument, because of his ability to reason. He was an terrible important person, and yet this guy, against God. God radically changes him. And God gave him a second chance to serve him. He didn't just redeem this past. It propelled him into a future. Amen. And the zeal he had against the church became a passion to serve God. There's a God who's looking at you today, and you are reviewing your life, and you need to know that there's a God of a second chance. God did not just forgive Paul. He gave him purpose. And it was a destructive force that changed to be profoundly life-giving. And that life-giving aspect is what we're looking at. There was another guy by the name of Peter, and all of us know about Peter, who denied Jesus three times. And he was not only forgiven by Christ, but was entrusted by Jesus for the flock, to the flock. After the resurrection, Peter is completely restored. He reinstates Peter after he cursed Jesus. The scripture says that he cried with great bitterness and anguish. But see, the reinstatement, even when you come against God who loves you, even wherever you may be, that when you deny the Lord, the Bible tells us that those moments when you repent, those failures do not necessarily disqualify you for serving God, to be used of God. As a matter of fact, I've always believed that all of our failures, all of our issues in life, though, that's the platform under which God works his miracles. God doesn't hide our bad things. He exposes them and says, I'm working in your life. I'm working in your life. We look at all of Israel, and this is a collective sound chance, second chance for Israel. And we find how God forgives all the people, God's people, so many times. Time and time again, they walked away from God and God calls them back. They walk away from God and God calls them back, and on and on and on. And he's always offering forgiveness and always offering a new covenant that would stand the test of time. And so he sends prophets to God's people, messages to the exiles, and different moments of restoration. And God's people hear the voice of God, hear the voice of God, hear the voice of God, until Jesus comes into the scene, and they also rebuked him and refused to believe in him. And yet God still says, I love you, Israel. So, as I'm bringing conclusion, as you've noticed, my messages on Sundays are a little shorter than before. Somebody told me to please cortito pero bonito. I can do cortito. I don't know if I can do bonito. This is all I got. But we have to live our lives encouraged by God's love. No matter what you have done that is off cue, no matter what has happened in your life, God's grace is always available to you. And he's ready to restore you, to restore us, and give us a new purpose, new direction. Take your marriage, take your children, take your job, take your finances, take your health. No matter what, there's a God who's there to restore you and to strengthen you. Profound encouragement for believers today. Profound encouragement to know that, yeah, I'm not necessarily the best, but I'm not the worst in the sense that I can appeal to you and you will grant me the forgiveness of my sins. The God of the second chance is a God who never gives up on us. And by the way, the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance and the... How old are you? Those are the chances God gives you. It's unlimited how God redeems you and God shows you the way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's the one who guides us in the midst of everything in our lives. He's the one that can transform our brokenness. He's the one who can transform our failures into opportunities for service. This is the theme through the scriptures that speak loudly of how God can forgive and restore our lives. But there's a catch to this that I need to leave with you before I do finish eventually this message. The theme of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness is a challenge for you and I to extend the same grace to others. Now it gets kind of rough. Because I want God to forgive me of all the wrongdoings and get second chances in life. Pero a este no le perdono nada. But I'm not forgiving this one. You know what I'm saying. If you and I receive, well, let me rephrase that by saying as recipients of God's grace and as recipients of God's giving us a second chance, we're called to embody the same mercy to all of our relationships. Tough. But we're reminded that forgiveness to others and giving grace to others, well, it's God's way of working in our lives. More than in their lives, in our lives. And no matter how many times we have failed in forgiving others and loving others and caring others and extending grace to others, you and I need to know that whatever wrong we have done, it will not twirt, will not change the plans that God has for you and for me, because he uses our failures, again, I said it, to bring his purposes and to show you, will the real you stand up? I got like 5 different words and phrases that are coming to my mind in Spanish that I dare not say it to you. But that's the absolute truth. We were yesterday in our doctoral class, and we were discussing certain things, and it came up as to the importance of using the right wisdom that's from above, because there's a way in which our talk, our attitude, our life can become problematic. And it's in the book of James, and it's in chapter 3, the real bad one that talks about the tongue, you know. And the scripture says that there are two kinds of wisdom, in other words, how you apply knowledge, how you live in life. And James says to you and to me, in light of extending grace to others, says, who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. You are then cognizant that you serve the God of the second chance, and he's giving you a second chance, a second opportunity to rekindle your mission, your commission, your ministry, your life. Then he says, and this is what we're talking about, extending the same grace to others. He says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. Wow. But if there's still, you've received from God a second chance to move on, but you don't give anybody a second chance, you don't give them the benefit of the doubt. He goes on to say, such wisdom of negating the opportunity of others, he says, does not come from heaven. Are you ready for this? It is earthly and spiritual of the devil. We have the capacity to respond with the wisdom that is not from above. When you and I receive mercy and we're giving the second chance, we should do everything we can to respond with the wisdom from above. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. You know that God has saved you. You know that God has forgiven you. Now, how do you apply that? Well, you act it out. You do good works. And he says, whether you have heavy envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. So you got to reconstruct your heart and say to the Lord, I've been forgiven. And I'd be given a second chance. Now I got this brother, this sister, this brother, this cuñado, lo que sea. He says we need to operate with wisdom from above. That's what it says in verse 17. And he says the wisdom that comes from above or from heaven is, first of all, pure. This is a whole series of messages, but just let me read it to you and let the Lord speak to you. Pure. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So I'm saying that this second chance makes you responsible for giving to others a second chance. And when you retaliate and you hit people the way you've been hit by them, maybe you're not using the wisdom from above, but you're using the wisdom that is, there's another version that says that is natural. What's the word? Well, one of them says is demonic. And instead of becoming the recipients of God's grace and love and forgiveness, we become instruments of the enemy. So God uses your second chance to love those who have done you wrong. That's why I will never preach this sermon again as long as I live. But the God of the second chance is a God of infinite grace and mercy. And he loves you, he loves me, and he extends grace and mercy to you. And the stories of Jonah and David and Moses and Paul and Peter and so many others, all of God's people, Israel, illustrates that no one is beyond the reach of God's grace to start over again with the God of the second chance. God has not written you out. You can write yourself out, but God doesn't. You need to understand God's encouragement to you this morning that no matter what failures, what inconsistencies, what areas in your life you're not proud of, there's a God who, when you repent, he will give you his grace. So God of the second chance is for everyone, even his own prophet Jonah. And when you look at the book of Jonah, you find that second opportunity enables him to fulfill the mission God wanted him to do in the first place. So you're not disqualified by your mistakes. No, you're not. And this idea of Jonah receiving mercy and Nineveh receiving mercy emphasizes that nobody is beyond the reach of God's mercy and love. Hallelujah. And in the broader Christian experience, you and me, you and I, need to be recipients of this forgiveness received by grace and embrace the God of the second chance. It's humbling for me. It's for you too. It's humbling. It's humbling. Really, it's pretty humbling that I'm not perfect. You too. Humbling. But it's also very encouraging because when you discover who you really are, and you see all your shortcomings, you find that God offers you hope. And that the God that we serve has patience and mercy. And it extends to all the aspects of our life. Not just once, but many, many, many times. We serve the God of the second chance. How many have received in your lifetime a second chance? How many are ready now for the 45th chance? Don't let the enemy put you down because you've done something wrong, because you've made a mistake, or because you have rebelled against God, or because you're indifferent towards God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look fully in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow dimly near, disappear in the light of his glory and grace. Look at the Lord. See he's gracious to you and say, Lord, I need that second chance in my life. I need that second chance. Lord, I thank you this morning for the second chance. I thank you this morning because you're working in our lives and there's nothing impossible for you to do. You have a way of speaking to us and a way of ministering to us. And Lord, none of us feel condemned, but we feel relieved. Relieved that we can come to you and that you will not throw us off. That you will not punish us, that you will not destroy us, that you will not do away with us, but that we come to you as the God of the second chance, and we take our chance, and we hear your voice again Oh, thank you for speaking once and speaking twice. And thank you that we can be recommissioned to do that which you called us in the first place. So, Lord, this second chance, we avail ourselves of it. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for doing what you wanted us to do in the first place. Forgive our rebellion, Lord. Forgive our stubbornness, Lord. Lord, we may not be called to Nineveh. We're called to a marriage. We're called to our children. We're called to the husband and to the wife. We're called to the church, to the body. We have calls, Lord. Lord, reinstate that call in our hearts. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you stand with me, please?
Create in me a clean heart, oh God.
Are you ready for that?
And renew a right spirit within me.
Thank you.
Create in me a spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Thank you, Lord. You know, the Lord's speaking in your hearts. Let it sink in. Let the Lord just do that work in your heart. Because you're getting a second chance this Sunday morning. You're being declared a second chance Christian. I'm proudly so. Lord, forgive me. But I'm here, Lord. I'm suffering, Lord. I've not done right in the past. But Lord, here I am. Recommitting my life to you. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Create in me, Lord, a new heart. That was David's restoration prayer. I've prayed that so many times. Oh, so many petty things come up in our lives. And we tend to use the wisdom from the earth, the wisdom from the world, and even the devil. But let's use the wisdom from above, which first of all is pure. Have a pure heart. Some of us need to do some work in the Lord's presence, but he will do all of that. Sing this one more time with me before we're dismissed.
Give me a clean heart, oh God.
Let this be our prayer.
Spirit within me. cast me not away. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Give a hand clap to the Lord for the work he's done in our hearts. And I have perceived some of you with tears and weeping, and that's God's presence in your life. And so we go home renewed with the knowledge that we have a second chance. Don't waste it. Use it. Use it for the glory of God. So, church, this is the day that the Lord has made. I don't know. I think it must be August, you know. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You're dismissed.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.